Please stand as you are able for our gathering prayer. Christ of the comfortable, you would call us from our security and sameness down that unknown path which leads to God's heart. Companion of our sleepless nights, you would beckon us out of the shadows of our fears, calling us to bring our doubts and questioning hearts along. Word, which creates out of nothingness, you would fill us with life where we see only emptiness. You would keep your promises when all ours lie littered on the ground.
We let your grace transform us into faithful disciples.
Amen. Our opening hymn is Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above, number 645 in Glory to God. When we least expect it, even when we are not ready, God comes to us, calling us to trust, calling us to follow, calling us to set aside our foolish lives for the grace-filled ones which are offered to us. Let us confess how often we choose not to follow as we pray together and silently. We are all too human, faithful God, and so think we have nothing to learn from others, and thus discount ancestors in the faith like Nicodemus. We look for an answer online, convinced that we can trust whatever we find. We close tight the shutters of our souls, so the Spirit can only rattle us, but not get in to transform our lives. Yet you continue to keep watch of us, promise giver. Whether it is when we swagger through the sunshine of our lives, or in those shadowed moments of uncertainty in the night, you will not stumble as you continue to come to us, to lead us into your kingdom. You will always be our help, whether or not we recognize it or accept it, even as you remain faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Where is our hope, our help, our peace, our joy? All come from God, the one who loved us and the world so much that Jesus came to bring us salvation. Please join in the prayer for illumination. As we step into the narrative of Christ's life and ministry, open our hearts to hear Jesus' teaching as if it were new to us. May we receive it with trust that you are revealing more of your will for our lives. Amen. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 121. This psalm encourages us to seek protection in the Lord. It offers assurance that God is aware of us and the circumstances that threaten us. It also gives a blessing for safety. Hear the words of Psalm 121. I will be reading from The Voice. I look up at the vast size of the mountains. From where will my help come in times of trouble? The eternal Creator of heaven and earth and these mountains will send the help I need. He holds you firmly in place. He will not let you fall. He who keeps you will never take his eyes off you and never drift off to sleep. What a relief! The one who watches over Israel never leaves for rest or sleep. The Eternal keeps you safe, so close to him that his shadow is a cooling shade to you. Neither bright light of sun nor dim light of moon will harm you. The Eternal will keep you safe from all of life's evils, from your first breath to the last breath you breathe, from this day and forevermore.
Oh, Today we are singing Eternal Life, and the song is telling us that God loves us so much that He gives His Son for us to live.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal
Good morning. This is Inside the Linton Studio, and I'm your host, James Lipton. Today we are continuing with our Linton series, exploring the life of Jesus of Nazareth, from the viewpoint of people who knew Him during His ministry. During this period, Jesus often met with groups and individuals, with Jewish leaders of His day, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. One of those most prominent leaders was a man named Nicodemus. Welcome to our show. Nick?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I didn't hear you. I've been lost in thought lately.
Yes, there's a lot of that going around these days. Is this a bad time to talk, or would you rather reschedule?
Oh, no. This is actually a perfect time. It fits right in with your current topic. Because my lack of mental acuity has to do with the conversation that I had with your Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, then you enjoyed a one-on-one with Him?
Enjoyed is a rather strong term. His words bothered me when I first heard them, and they continue to do so to this day.
Well, I'm intrigued. Please continue. Just what was this conversation about? What did He say to you that put you in such a state?
Well, I met with Him one evening and started off with a simple, lighthearted statement. I said to Him, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts that you do if God weren't in on it." I think I even chuckled a little as I said it. But I could never have expected his response, which came right out of left field. He said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom."
Born from above? You mean like a rebirth? How can anyone be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again.
Those were exactly my words. I thought he was being facetious, but I quickly realized that he was serious, very serious. He continued chiding my supposed ignorance. He said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, then it's not possible to enter God's kingdom."
Ooh, very deep words indeed. Puts a whole new spin on religion as we know it today.
I was completely lost. But he continued, "When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, spirit.
It's no
and it becomes a living spirit."
It's no wonder you felt lost. These words could well have been the basis for a Sunday sermon, if anyone felt brave enough to tackle such a subject. We may never know.
Well, I dismissed him outright. I was convinced that he was speaking gibberish, and I left him, feeling that I had wasted my valuable time. And yet, his words, as strange as they were, have stayed with me. I can't get them out of my head, because I feel that somewhere within those sentences lies something very important. Something that I must decipher. My very life, my immortal life, depends on it.
Thank you for tuning in.
Boys and girls, if you come up. Okay, I have a question for you. Who here has seen the wind? What did it look like? What color was it, Savannah? So how did you see it? But that's not the wind, is it? That's the trees, right? Yeah, trick question, Savannah. Trick question. It was a trick question. That's the whole thing, is nobody can see wind, right? Nobody can see wind. But what you see is what? You saw the trees, right? The trees move, leaves rustle, and in New Mexico, what else moves when you have dirt? Tumbleweeds. Yes, Mr. Thayer's favorite thing, tumbleweeds. So we see the effects of the wind, right? We don't necessarily see the wind. We don't know where it comes from. And we kind of know where it's going based on which way things are blowing. Well, Jesus said when he was visiting with Nicodemus, who we just heard from, that that's how the Holy Spirit works. That you can't see it and you can't taste it, but you can see its effects. so you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can feel its effects. What might some of the effects of the Holy Spirit be? Anybody have any ideas? What if you're making a decision? What if you're making a decision and you don't know what decision to make? And suddenly it comes to you what decision you should make. That's the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or somewhere in you, you find the ability to love somebody that you've had trouble liking even. That's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you may end up someplace you never thought you'd be. Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit wants, not necessarily what we want. To remind us that we're really not in charge of our lives, but that God is. And God loves us enough to seek what's good for us. So, when things happen and we can't explain them, what's the easy answer now? Yes. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. All right, well, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves wherever it will, but always seeks our good, seeks to lead us and guide us, and may we be aware of which way we are being led by it. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And there are classes for middle school as well as elementary, just for our visitors. Well, we've now heard from Nicodemus. And this encounter, which is somewhat famous in the Bible, it's always filled me with wondering. I won't say wonder like awe, but it makes me wonder. Part of it is because it's in the Gospel of John. And if you know anything about the Gospel of John, you know that John fills every word, every phrase with meaning, and sometimes at more than one level. And that gets my wondering started. Well, what did John mean by this? What did John mean by that? And I wonder why, I start out by wondering why Nicodemus came by night. Now, there are a lot of folks who have pondered that and given conjectures. Night provides security of not being seen. And after all, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a religious authority, and they were not really happy with Jesus. And so by going at night, it was safer for him. John was a sign of spiritual blindness. He talks about Jesus being the light of the world, and Jesus tells Nicodemus further down in that chapter that people prefer the darkness where their deeds are not seen. And I wonder how Nicodemus even came to see Jesus. Yes, he had observed some things about Jesus, but rather than being frightened by them, he was intrigued by them. He wasn't ready to judge them yet. He needed more information. And he came to declare to Jesus his belief that Jesus indeed was from God. And I can see that if you listen to him, he had a hard time putting what he had seen and heard and experienced into words. And any of us who have tried to explain any experience of faith or the divine understand that difficulty. But why did Nicodemus come at all? And I wonder, did the Spirit bring him? I think that if this story were in Luke, he would have started out by saying, "And the Spirit brought Nicodemus to Jesus by night." But this is not Luke. Nicodemus, I'm sure, had to think long and hard before deciding to go and meet Jesus. He had to humble himself, as one does when acknowledging that you don't know everything about anything. He had to come with the humility of one who had something to learn, and in this case, a matter of faith. And for a teacher of the law, an authority of the faith, that had to be awfully hard for Nicodemus to admit. For you know, it's true of all of us, that the more knowledgeable we think we are, the less apt we are open to being taught. We don't consider ourselves needing to be teachable. And yet, Nicodemus obviously came to learn because he had questions, and not challenging, like, I want to trip you up questions. Not to prove Jesus wrong or misguided or uninformed, but actual curiosity questions. And I wonder how Nicodemus was after this encounter. John doesn't really tell us. It just kind of abruptly ends, which actually makes Tom's portrayal this morning pretty accurate, according to John. Wondering if what he has heard could have long-term, if not eternal, implications. Because it's clear that Nicodemus does not understand all that Jesus is telling him. He's having a hard time going where Jesus is trying to lead him. For Jesus is taking him to that place beyond the logic and the reason of the law. To that place where one believes without fully understanding. Where one trusts when logic and reason fail to provide answers. Being born of the Spirit? What does that mean? There's nothing in the law or the prophets about being born again or born from above. How can this be true? And yet, in spite of his doubts, Nicodemus doesn't walk out and he doesn't reject it outright, which really says a lot about Nicodemus. He knows that Jesus is from God, and thus he deserves to explain himself. Although the explanation is not that much clearer for Nicodemus, he still listens, hoping to have something familiar, something he can hold on to, something that sounds like what he has known and what he has been teaching all his life. He wants to find meaning, and that's why he still keeps asking questions. Every time I hear the telling of this meeting with Jesus, I am reminded of everything I do not understand about my faith. About God, about how and where the Spirit moves. And the older I get, the more of those there are. You would think it would be the other way around. But this meeting takes me back to those moments in my own life where logic and reason failed me. Innocents who suffer, the loneliness and feelings of abandonment, the deep grief without any explanation. Those moments when the cliches just don't work. For there are things that are bigger than we can handle on our own. There are those things that don't fit into any logical answer of the universe. But this is also true for moments of undeserved love and joy. You know, it's funny how we never ask God, why me? In those times. And there are those times of clarity, decision, calling, when we don't know the reason or how we came to be in that circumstance, but somehow we know it's of God, in the same way that Nicodemus knew that Jesus was of God. When I'm asked, an example of this is when I'm often asked, how did you end up in New Mexico from Cincinnati? And the truest but least clear explanation is that this is where the Holy Spirit brought me. Now, you all kind of nod and have some understanding of that, but, you know, a lot of the world will, that's when you get the eye rolls and the huh. And I also often get the question of how did I come to become a minister? And I always want to say, well, because God had a sense of humor. But I also feel like this is where the Spirit has led me. And when I give these kinds of answers, there's something in me that also feels compelled to give a more reasoned and logical explanation about how I ended up in New Mexico as opposed to New York City. But the truth really lies here in those words of Jesus that I shared with the kids. The Spirit blows where it will. How often has that been the real answer for our journey in life? It's where the Spirit blew us. It's how the Spirit moved us. The Spirit blows where it will. What do we do in those moments when the logic and reason we rely on for our daily living, which we do, you know, it gets us through each day, from what we decide to eat or wear to how we decide to spend our time to what gets us through the day in terms of our job or what job we have or what college major we decide on. What do we do, though, in those moments when the logic and reason we depend on fails us? And we're left, like Nicodemus, without any clear answers. Can we make that leap beyond reason to trust in what we cannot see? To have confidence without fully understanding? And that's what Jesus is asking of Nicodemus. Being born of the Spirit is about allowing the Spirit to lead you, trusting that you are being led from darkness, however comfortable that might be, into light, from despair into hope, from pain into healing. Now, none of these, according to Jesus, require us to know and fully understand. But it does mean that we have to start by owning those infamous words from John 3:16. And if you didn't know them from the Bible, you might have known them from sports arenas. Words that many of us can say by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And depending on when you grew up will depend on what translation you remember. But even in that beautiful verse, the gospel in miniature, in a nutshell, there's a pitfall. And it's a very human pitfall. And it's where you put your emphasis on this verse. Is this verse about God or is it about us? Now, I would contend that this verse is about God. And those of you who taught English, you should agree with me. Because God is the subject of the sentence. It's God's love for the world and everyone in it, and God's willingness to give his only Son so that we might inherit eternal life. It would seem in that verse, God is doing the heavy lifting. The step into faith when nothing makes sense, when you're getting what you do not deserve, either wonderful or tragic, is the step we take knowing that verse, that God loves the world so much and what God did so that no one would ever be separated from that love. Now, we've tried to take this verse and turn it around and make it a requirement for eternal life to somehow put the onus back on us. Well, Jesus said in it that it's a declaration of what God is doing and has been doing out of love through Jesus Christ to ensure that the whole world has eternal life. The center action of this verse comes from God, whether you read it in English or Greek, not from us. It's not about us. And thus, it's not dependent upon us. Now, here's some more wondering for me in this passage. I wonder, what if Nicodemus went home that night already having been reborn of the Spirit without even knowing it? What if it was the Spirit who brought him to Jesus in the first place without him even knowing it. As Nick in our interview pointed out, Jesus gave him plenty to think about and to pray about. I wonder if he thought about those words the next time he experienced unspeakable pain or deep joy that he knew he did not deserve. Those things for which there is no logical explanation. Only the indescribable love of God. And then, if he did remember those words, was that yet another moment of rebirth for him? As people of the Reformed tradition, which we are, in case you didn't know, we are fond of saying that we are Reformed and always reforming. It's that piece that we tend to forget because that means we're changing, and change is not a good word for us. But it means that God, as he continues to be revealed to us, we continue to also be reformed to greater faithfulness. We are reborn of the Spirit. Perhaps an ancillary to that is that we are reborn and always being reborn. The Spirit is always leading us to new places, bringing us in contact with people and situations we never would have found on our own. And each time we have the opportunity to be born from above. For myself, I know that the birth of my two sons and later my grandson brought me such joy that I knew I did not deserve. I hadn't done anything to earn that. It still, for me, is beyond the ability to explain my feeling about that. And I also know that God did not bring suffering to my grandson and my family because of something we had done, for some reason. The God that I love and serve doesn't work that way. So there isn't some reason for that. This part of my life journey is certainly one right now that goes beyond logic and reason, I must confess. The rules and laws of nature, the way things are supposed to work, my friends. But I know that the Spirit has brought people and situations and words and places in the midst of all of that that tell me again and again of the depths of God's love for me and for my family and for all of you. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've experienced it, even though I cannot fully explain it. So as our interviewer said, I'm not sure I can preach on it. And I've been reborn each time. The one hint we get that Nicodemus was reborn, if not that night, perhaps in the time that follows, comes later in the Gospel of John after Jesus has died. That's where the only other time Nicodemus is even mentioned. This time Nicodemus is there by the light of day, or perhaps more like the twilight, depending on how all that really historically worked out in terms of the time of day. But he and Joseph of Arimathea saw that our Savior had a proper burial. He had to have been seen by those who crucified him, his colleagues in the Sanhedrin, the ones who did it, they had to have seen it. But now he boldly steps forward to care for the man who showed him the path to God's love and eternal life. Perhaps remembering that night and saying to himself, "For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world." Amen. Join me, stand and as you are comfortable, and join me in singing hymn number 45, In Glory to God. It is a musical rendition of the psalm we heard, I to the hills will lift my eyes. As we come together in prayer, I'm going to share a prayer concern that was given to me, and then I will open our prayer and leave it then for you to lift up your prayers either silently or aloud. Then I will close us and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. The one concern that was given to me this week was for those who have been a member of the church for a while, one of the former pastors was Dave Schreffler. And his wife, Maisie, has an aggressive malignant melanoma. And she is indeed receiving surgery and treatment, but he has asked for our prayers. And you'll find that on your insert this morning, your prayer insert. Let us be in a spirit of prayer. You are the eternal and everlasting God, the God who created this beautiful world and all that is in it, and yet cares for each of us as though we were the only ones here. And we give you thanks and praise for that love that we cannot imagine or understand, but we trust. And we lift up to you, O God, Maisie, and surround her with your healing, and surround she and Dave with a sense of your presence and peace. God, we ask that you be with all those who sit at bedsides or lay in hospital beds or hospice beds. We pray for those who mourn and comfort, and we entrust all those lives to you, O God. We also pray for your peace, a peace the world does not understand, nor can we generate it on our own. We rely upon you. Work through us, O God, to be the compassion that we cannot create on our own, the love that comes only from you, the peace. And let us be witnesses to that in this community, and in all the lives we touch, that hungry might be fed, lonely might find companionship, that those who struggle each day with life, whether in Rio Rancho or in Thailand or Iraq, that they might know your peace. And now, O God, hear the prayers of your people. Gather all these prayers, O God, petitions, intercessions, and words of praise, and open our hearts to hear your response and be led by your Spirit. And now we join our voices and our hearts praying the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
God loves us so much, we are given God's own Son that we might never be separated from God. What we offer now is a reflection of our gratitude for loving us and our commitment to love as God loves. join in the prayer of dedication. You trust us enough to place your blessings in us, so may we be as faithful in offering them back to you, so others might be kept in their loneliness, might be fed in their emptiness, might receive hope in their despair. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our sending song is To God Be the Glory, number 634 in Glory to God.
This is another interesting background. Stanley Crosby actually wrote this hymn way back in 1875, along with many of the other hymns that old-time religion sings. But it wasn't popular. And it was actually Billy Graham who used this in his crusade in Great Britain in 1954 that it became a commonplace hymn and that people really felt spoken to by this particular hymn. To God be the glory. Oh, and that's when the name changed. It's To God Be the Glory. Originally it was Praise for the Redemption. Then it became To God Be the Glory.
I think you all need to offer a special word of thanks to Nathan this morning. Friday, he had all his wisdom teeth removed. So the fact that he's sitting here listening to vibrations. So we are grateful he's here, but I can't imagine sitting there while your mouth is vibrating with pianos and organs. We go from here mindful that, like Nicodemus, we can't always explain our experiences of God or where the Spirit has moved us. But we go trusting that God so loves us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and that infinite love of our God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit that moves where it will be with each of you now and forever. Amen.